One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora. A novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Kip Watson and Dewan Bennett in studio with me. How are you guys doing today?
I'm feeling great.
Excellent.
This is a good day.
I've got a stuffy nose, if you can hear it. It's okay.
I was struggling all last week.
Yeah.
It was horrible for me last week.
Yeah, there's a lot going around.
This
that's
weather
for sure.
Changing.
Yeah. You know, they always say that. Is that true?
I'm going to say it anyway.
Weather changes?
I have no choice but to believe it.
I don't know any different.
Maybe the pressure.
That's all I can go off of. But I did have to go to the doctor to get antibiotic because I had a sinus infection. I was just so inflamed. It was bad.
Wow. Maybe you needed to rest.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rest is important, right? Making sure you're getting an adequate amount of sleep, making sure you're taking care of your body. Your body will respond and let you know that you're not taking care of it the right way.
Well, and I just don't believe in antibiotics unless it's really something extreme because you probably, and I'm not your mother. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but you probably could have because if you can get a bacterial infection and you can use like saline spray or, load up on vitamin D.
I had tried everything. Like, I know my body pretty well. I rarely get, like, real sick. Like, I don't get the flu. I don't do flu shots, all that type of stuff. I rarely go to the doctor for, like, a sickness other than my physical. Well, for me to have it for 2 whole weeks, I tried everything. And
it's hard sometimes.
It started to affect me at work. I'm talking to people. My nose is running. You can't sit there and therapy sessions with tissue in your nose.
Right. Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, you probably didn't rest.
Then they're thinking you're infecting them.
Yep.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you take any kind of pain reliever or fever reducer?
Yes, I did.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So for everyone out there listening, okay, when you start to get a cold, do not take a fever reducer or a pain reliever because then you stop the process of your natural immune system. Just going out there, rocking and rolling and shutting down whatever it is, virus, bacteria, whatever it is in your body. It does.
And it can take your gut 6 months to recover from antibiotics.
More than that, they say up to 2 years now that you can carry it in your body.
Well, a minimum.
Well.
Oh, well, thank you. I am no longer taking my antibiotics.
There you go.
No, you can't quit it. Once you started. You can't quit once you start. Did you already start?
Yeah, I already started.
Did you finish them yet?
You got to finish them.
I've never finished them, though. I've never. I'll take.
You take them till you feel better?
If you give me a prescription for like pain or anything, once I feel better, I'm done. I've never wanted to be dependent on anything like that.
Yeah. Well, reducing the fever is wonderful. It's your body's automatic, natural system that is in place to shut down and kill that virus or that bacteria. And so you never want to lower your fever. You want to let your body do the natural thing. The problem is most people can't go to bed and rest and let the fever just like kill the virus or the bacteria.
And that's the problem is the sleep part of it. It's like, I was fine with it other than, the tissue in my nose, very graphic. But the part that really started to bother me for like 2 or 3 days, I couldn't sleep. Yeah. I was constantly up sneezing, had them go get tissue, you know, having to blow my nose, I was like, okay, this is not going to, this not, I'm not going to make it.
So yeah. Well, no, different. I'm not judging you. I just, okay. I, but I, it just came, we came up. You said it.
So you're just opinionated about it.
Yeah, well, I just, I want people to always, well, you know, I talk about, okay, so my dog, Susie, She, when I found her, she was 8 years old, so I never got her spayed because I figure she's too old. She'll stop having her cycle, you know, pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Well, she just finished a cycle, and so as I understand it, every time that a dog goes in and out of heat, that increases their chances of getting mammary tumors and hormonal changes, okay? And so it's a, I'm trying to make this short, but she flipped up. She was acting really strange. Like, she didn't feel good, and she... I said, come on, Susie, let's go to bed. I told the story earlier in the week, and she didn't want to come. I was like, what's wrong? So when I walked over to her, she flipped over, and that's when I saw that she had, you know, inflamed mammary glands. I was like, holy smoke, wow. So I picked her up. I'm like, oh, it's going to be okay. So we took her to the vet the next day, yeah. And yes, indeed, you know, the mammary tumors. Surgery was the first thing, x-ray, and if it was just in her mammary glands and not like in her heart and stuff, like it being cancerous tumors or something, we would just, you know, remove the tumors. But so I got to reading this natural health book about
Oh, right. The dog one.
Homeopathic. It's a homeopathic book. I don't have it here with me. Doctors, whatever.
Something.
We're going to put it in the newsletter, actually. But anyway, so I went to get some homeopathic pills that were recommended in the book. And I kid you not, within 24 hours, they are decreased and now they're almost gone. This was from a couple of days ago.
Mm. Wow.
From That's giving great. Her a homeopathic medicine.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I won't need to give her surgery. But,
wow.
You know. But it's amazing your body, whether you're a dog or a human being, a canine or human, you have an incredible ability to heal yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you do.
People forget that.
Yeah.
I think the body was designed or created to do that.
Of course, you know, we want immediate relief, and that's mm-hmm. why we tend to go and get the pills and all that stuff, because I want this feeling gone immediately.
Yeah, sure.
Well, and I kept it close. I'm like, Susie, and I gave her a lot. I always give my dogs love, but I gave her extra, extra love. And I think that helped too. You know, just the energy of her knowing, you know, that mama cares and was just, I don't know, just extra tender. I think that helped her to heal as well. When you think about it, you know, a doctor's bedside manner can really make a difference.
Yes, it does. You know, in your morale and your kind of your ability to want to feel better. Sometimes, you know, the belief. Right. You know, that kind of feeling that you have about, hey, my ability to feel better, I'm going to feel better, I'm going to get out of bed, depends if you kind of have that strong support.
Oh, yeah.
People kind of rooting for you to kind of feel better.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love having both of you in studio. Dewan Bennett and Kip Watson are both licensed professional counselors. And we're going to be, it's Shrink Day. We're going to be talking with Dewan Bennett about scary movies cause anxiety. I can't wait to talk about that.
This is so fitting, knowing that the Joker
is out
there.
It's the spooky time. Yes. Right. Yes.
Halloween's coming, right?
Yeah. Right.
I have an opinion, of course. We all do. And Kip Watson is going to continue talking about how to role model for the best relationships for your kids continued. Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Dewan Bennett, and Kip Watson. Kip Watson is a licensed professional counselor and supervisor and sports psychology professional. She has 2 master's degrees and nearly 20 years of experience with athletes, coaches, families, and corporate teams. She is a certified high-performance coach, a former professional athlete, and a mom of 2 in college. You can find her on Twitter at KipFit. And Dewan Bennett is also a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. It's so great to have you guys both in studio. I love Shrink Day. And I really do. I always have. I love talking about psychology. Oh my gosh, you're welcome. We've got some really great topics we were picking just a few minutes ago for in the upcoming months. What are some of them again, Avi?
How do you know whether to believe an apology? How expectations are shaping your relationship and ways to counter the effects of adverse childhood experiences.
Yes. Mm.
That's a good one.
And yeah. I want to talk about the rape culture, but nobody wants to do it with
me. Oh, I'll be glad to talk about that. I mean, I got kids in college, so it's a conversation we have.
Oh, gosh. It's you know? it happens so much, I can't even tell you. Like, yeah. I've been doing, like, some real investigating about it, talking to girls, and you can't even believe how common it is.
It's very common.
Yeah, it's very common. It's wrong, and I think it really needs to be addressed nationally, like really, really addressed, and maybe fraternities. I know I'm going to make a lot of people go crazy
right now.
Maybe rethink the whole fraternity process. Like, seriously.
Well, it's a
like
tricky.
The Greek life.
Well, yeah. I am a part of the Greek life. I was just at a leadership conference about that a few weeks ago where we had actives from every chapter in the country. And it is something that we talk about. This would be a really good topic, I think, to cover, because I think there are different roles and different messages that need to be sent to both men and women on the college campus, but also what can those organizations do different to really change that part of the culture? Because it's not just in the Greek system. It's not just the Greeks. It's, you know, it's athletes. It's just the college culture.
It's college in general. I mean, it's just not college. I mean, you have high school students.
It's happening.
You have adults.
High school parties. Yeah.
I think it's unfortunate. You know, I think when I say my wife and I have this conversation all the time, sometimes after coming home from work, I'm just kind of disgusted with something maybe that a client may disclose to me about a situation in which they were sexually assaulted. And I it's something I don't get. I don't understand. I think that a person has the right to tell you no, and you should respect that.
Absolutely.
And there's no bargaining. There's no negotiation. A person should tell you no. Mm-hmm. And if a person is unconscious and they can't give you any type of verbal cues, then
it's
you need to just
no
move on.
Go.
It's an automatic no.
Well, so many of them are roofied, though. They don't even get a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't even get a choice. They basically get roofied,
or they get
roofied and raped.
Well, yes, and there are two, like, even having been in that situation too myself, anytime you make the decision, whether you make the decision to ingest drugs or drink yourself, or that's a different than when you've been somebody's put something in your drink and you're not aware of it and something happens,
they
right?
They need to go to
prison. But any time that you decide to drink and or ingest drugs and you're in a mixed environment, you are compromising your own moral value system. And it is much easier to compromise your own decision-making in those types of cultures there. And it's very common in these high school parties. It's common in a college setting. And then you wake up and realize what you did when you compromised yourself and you feel deep regret, deep remorse. And women have got to be careful about that.
But
you can't. And I know people say, well, that they should never.
If someone drinks, that doesn't mean that someone should be able to take advantage of them just because they decided to
have. I
couldn't
agree more.
But don't hear me say, I agree with you. But you also got to realize you have some culpability of compromising yourself. Like, don't put yourself in that situation to begin with.
True.
Don't.
One of the big issues with it is how the criminal justice system tends to deal with it. When I see situations with the kid in Stafford and the kid
Brock? Is it?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
The kid in Ohio and then the kid in Kansas, in which these adults were given probation for sexually assaulting someone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sexually assaulting someone, premeditated crime in which they hurt somebody, that person that they sexually assaulted is going to be scarred for life. So there is no probation and then have it expunged from your record, because that can never be expunged from that person's memory. You know, in therapy, I do EMDR. And a lot of times what you're seeing is these are deep rooted problems that all stem from a situation where someone is sexually assaulted, because they feel like their ability to protect themselves and to say no was taken away from them. And that's forever damaged. So why do these people get probation? Why are they not penalized?
He should have been put in prison for
You have people going to jail for drugs, right? For marijuana.
Which is ridiculous, by the way.
Which is crazy, but people are out here sexually assaulting, actually harming a person. Their physical and their mental.
And get community service or something.
Mm-hmm. Very disturbing.
I just think that like you should be able to go and have a few drinks, like if you're with your friends or at a party, and not be scared that you're going to get roofied or raped even. I agree, 100%.
But there's also the situations that's really common where you go and do that and then you decide to go back to a bedroom or a dorm room and then you've compromised yourself. And there's maybe not that intent that sex is going to happen, but guess what? He's thinking that.
Well, he's a predator.
No.
If he's thinking that.
Not necessarily.
Not without consent.
He is not necessarily a predator. He may be thinking, okay, she's
coming back.
She's
to my
interested.
Place.
It's not a predator. It's like, wow, okay, this is a good sign. Maybe we are.
I misunderstood you. I thought you said if someone was following you back.
No,
to the,
you agree yeah, to go back agree, to yeah. a okay. dorm room.
Yeah.
Or a bedroom.
Yeah, that's different. For sure.
But even if you change your mind, okay.
Yeah, like you should be able
that's
to.
That's it. Get off me, dude. You know, go in the other room. Bye.
In full disclosure, in my younger day, I used to tell people, like, look, you know, let's stay in this living room. You know, we can watch TV in the living room. We can talk in the living room. There's no need to go back into my room unless, you know, we're taking this conversation
further,
you know, further, right?
Because that's a good point.
There should be understood boundaries.
Yep.
And a lot of times you may have somebody who may struggle with social cues, right? They may struggle with social cues. So then they take this, oh, you're sitting on my bed. Oh, you're laying on my bed. And now they take that as a sign. I'm not making an excuse for that because this is sickening to me, but I do think that you have to be mindful of people. So you have to be
vigilant.
Protect yourself. You have to make sure you're protecting yourself at all times.
But I think you, at the same token, also you have a lot of women who they are confused about that part about themselves and or they're curious but scared at the same time. Mm-hmm. So they progress to a certain place and then the fear comes in. They're like, no, I can't do this. I can't do this when it's already been like...
And so many of them are young.
They are young.
They're so young.
But I think this is what I hear a lot, though, this is really sensitive, and there's a lot that needs to be processed. But then let's say a sexual encounter happens, and she didn't really want it to happen, but she took it out of curiosity and out of trying to kind of understand that part of herself. She took it further than she wanted to. Then the next day, we're riddled with a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. And so then it's like, I didn't want that to happen. He raped me.
Mm-hmm. Or it's the assumption, right? Because the question could be asked, hey, you hooked up with Greg last night. You know, well, I don't know if I really wanted to. Oh, hold on. So did he force himself? There's parts
and
of it.
Yeah, it's where it gets gray, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is where a lot of women I've seen, and boy, the women out there, you guys, I realize this is controversial, but you got to own your part of it to find full healing. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, learn from it so you don't compromise yourself further. But sometimes I see where it happens at one time, and now we think now we're full of shame and guilt. So either we go one direction or the other. We become really promiscuous or we kind of shut down that whole side of ourselves.
And there's other parts of it. You know, if you have the guy who definitely should go to jail, most 100% should go to jail if he sexually assaulted someone.
Correct.
You also have situations in which males' lives are ruined at times because you do have somebody that's accusing somebody of sexually assaulting them that didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And I think in those situations, that accuser should also go to jail as well because, you know, once that stuff is on Google, once that stuff's in the media, when somebody Googles your name, they're going to forever see that. So even once it was found that maybe you didn't do it, that's still going to be somewhere on somebody's mind because once it's implanted in their mind, they're going to think, well, maybe he did do it. Maybe he just got away with it. Mm-hmm. And now somebody's going to always view you from a sense of, hey, are you a predator? So I think there should be consequences on both ends. Definitely severe consequences for somebody who sexually assaults
falsely
someone.
Falsely accuses. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of these cases, at least that I've heard over my 20 years, where it's kind of gray. And what I try to get the victim in understanding when it's gray is to understand, yes, their culpability, their ownership in it, because otherwise they're riddled with that guilt and shame for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of being able to just own that I made a compromising decision or choice that led to that. No, I didn't ask for that.
Not in every case, though.
It's not in every case. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, I've seen a lot of these in my 20 years where it's just really, it's not clear cut.
And it's not victim shaming.
It's not victim shaming, for sure.
Helping them understand, hey, don't be in these compromising situations. I understand.
Right. And I think that's what tends to happen when we mix drinking and alcohol, young people. Raging hormones. And a lot of times it can be, whoa, this isn't really clear cut one way or the other.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do agree. There are times when it's very clear cut. Both should be prosecuted.
Mm-hmm. Well, we ended up talking about the rape culture. Right? We said we didn't want to.
I did say I wasn't going to get into the discussion.
I've told my son, he's a freshman in college. I said, under no circumstances do you bring a female back to your dorm room. I don't care. You may think she's, you know, holy and pure and it's all in good. I said, do not do it. Do not do it if you're alone. No, period. You don't want to be accused of any wrongdoing whatsoever, especially as an athlete.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. But yeah, I'm glad we talked about it, though. We're going to go to break. We're going to talk about a lot of other stuff, how to role model, the best relationships for your kids, and scary movies cause anxiety. I know they do in me. That's why I never watch them. So stay tuned, everyone. You are listening to One Life Radio. If I can reach the stars. Great choice, Diamond Gray. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. I've got Dewan Bennett in studio with me and Kip Watson. Kip Watson is a licensed professional counselor and supervisor and sports psychology professional. She has 2 master's degrees and nearly 20 years of experience with athletes, coaches, families, and corporate teams. She is a certified high-performance coach and a former professional athlete and a mom of 2 in college. And Dewan Bennett is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. He also has 2 master's degrees, 1 in counseling and another in psychology. And he is the owner of Dewan Bennett Counseling, a private mental health practice here in Dallas. Dewan believes that the key to mental health and behavioral success is the ability to master self-awareness and emotional control. You can find him on his Instagram page or Facebook at Dewan Bennett Counseling or PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. Okay, you two, let's talk about this. Kip Watson. Okay, so how to role model the best relationship for your kids. We talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago. We didn't get very far. So where would you like to jump in?
Well, yeah, let's just quickly recap. We covered 2 of the 6. And I think we, you know, here in America, we have a very unhealthy relationship habits that I see that are kind of baked into our culture. You know, in movies, we worship a lot of the romantic love, but I think we often see in TV, but I see this a lot just, you know, within the clients that I see. If I ask them who role modeled a healthy relationship to you, I get a lot of like head in the, you know.
They don't know?
They don't know. Wow. They're like, ah, and they don't really have anybody. So one relationship dysfunctional pattern that we is the scorecard. And this is
where
you're.
What does that mean, the scorecard?
Well, we talked about how it's like if a new disagreement or conflict comes up, then we bring out the laundry list of everything they've ever done wrong. Mm-hmm. And we're just like, see, you know, you're always this way. And it's like a tit for tat thing. Well, if you're going to do that, well, then I'm going to respond by doing this nasty thing or this hurtful thing. And it's just this back and forth scorecard type of relationship.
People do that with money, too.
They do. Well, if you're going to buy that, then I'm going to go buy this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Men and women do that all the time.
Yeah, instead
it's
of
usually
just
a little disproportionate, though.
Well, and it's toxic because it really builds up bitterness and resentment, which a lot of these patterns do. And then your kids are watching that. And that's what they see. Rather than dealing individually with each situation, mm-hmm. rather than keeping score. And then the second one we got to was passive aggressiveness. And that's a common term that we float around. So again, instead of dealing directly with a problem or conflict, we make these backhanded, you know, hurtful statements. And we don't really address the issue head on.
And that's what causes passive aggressiveness, right? When you can't talk about it head on and you try to find a way to broach the subject with someone and come off as being passive aggressive, right?
Yes.
Yes. And it's deadly.
But everybody else, not everybody, many people do that.
They do, instead of just, I think a lot of people do this, and if you're wired more like a feeler, you'll tend to fall into this pattern because what kind of unconsciously you're afraid to hurt the other person's mm-hmm. feelings, or you yourself are uncomfortable with conflict.
Yeah.
And the other person's like, conflict? We're just having a discussion. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's better to just be direct, be upfront, be clear about, you know, when you do this, I feel hurt or I feel angry, and deal with it openly mm-hmm. and in a safe way.
Yeah. So many people struggle with that. Just being able to speak to their spouse or their boyfriend, their girlfriend. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, and she is afraid to broach the subject with her husband that he drinks too much sometimes, and it really bothers her. You know, but she doesn't know what to do. She's afraid if she brings it up to him that he will get really angry.
And guess what? Like, he might.
And he probably will.
She still needs to bring it up if it's mm-hmm. a concern. Mm-hmm. Right? Otherwise, that's how the creeping thing of bitterness and resentment just grows mm-hmm. because you're never dealing with somebody, dealing with the issue straight on.
Okay, so what else damages relationships?
I'm going to call this one holding the relationship hostage.
Ooh, okay.
Hostage thing. It's where one person has maybe a simple criticism or complaint and then, in essence, blackmails the person with it instead of recognizing that, you know what, and everybody knows this, you're not married or connected to a perfect friend or a perfect spouse.
Right.
It's not the movies.
It's not the movies, right?
So, like, give me an example of this.
Okay, so I feel like you're being cold sometimes is a very straightforward way to say that. But instead, the person may say, I can't date someone who's cold to me all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's just a different way of expressing
it. It's a different way of expressing it.
That's funny. Okay,
right, so it's holding it hostage and saying, like, I can't do that.
Right.
Rather than realizing, right, okay, you're not going to be perfect. There's going to be little things that bug me.
Or letting them know what your need is. You know, I feel like you're distant instead of saying, hey, I feel like we should be closer. Mm-hmm. I feel like we should touch more. We should be connected more.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's an important thing mm-hmm. that you need to say. Also, it's like, you know, you seem a little bit cold. What I would like to see is, right, that us mm-hmm. talk about, you know, whatever's going on.
Or say, why are you so cold?
Well, then you elicit getting defensive, right? Mm-hmm. Instead.
Okay, so you can't say that?
It's better not to, and that's not being passive aggressive, but it's like, why are you so cold? It's different than saying, you seem cold.
Right.
Gee, honey.
Because when you say, why are you so cold, you're telling that person that they're cold. And like, hold on, I'm not cold.
Right.
But you seem cold, or I feel you're cold, kind of more so begs a question, mm-hmm. you know?
Or what about, is something bothering you?
There you go.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, it seems like something's bothering you. I don't want to assume, so let me check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you okay? I'm just checking in.
Yeah.
You know, that goes a big difference. Are you okay?
Relationships are so hard. Oh, my God. They're
exhausting.
Well,
I know as an introvert, I know there's a lot of misunderstanding of my nonverbal, and I've really worked on it as an introvert. But when someone say, like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, nothing. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, but now there is, now that you've asked me that.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see where you would get, anybody would get defensive if you were, you know, spoken to like that. Right?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so jealousy's a big one. I know it's on the list. So that's a big one. That's a huge one.
It is a big one.
And so, you know, how do you role model not being jealous? Or if you, let's just talk about jealousy because that's a big one.
It is. We could do a whole show on that. I think. Yeah.
We can get into it.
Well, I think if you're getting pissed off when your partner talks to, touches, texts, hangs out, sneezes, whatever in the general vicinity of another person, and then you proceed to get really angry or psychotic about it, then you are the one with the problem, not them.
Okay.
You know, those insane behaviors of jealousy are not okay. It's not time to go hack into your partner's email or their phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. I do tend to take the philosophy that your phone and computer should be open when you're in a marriage situation.
We've talked about this before. Yeah. I think I tell my girlfriends this: if you ever feel like you have to look in your husband's phone or his briefcase or whatever get into his stuff on his desk, the relationship is pretty much over. If you're that insecure, or maybe he is cheating, whatever, but if you get to that point, you're in a very bad place in your relationship.
Yeah, so you got to remember, like, jealousy is to kind of feel jealous, or to kind of have a sense that, you know, maybe somebody's getting something or doing something that, you know, you're not getting. That's a normal feeling. It's more so all your feelings are okay. Mm-hmm. It's your behaviors that aren't. Mm-hmm. So if your jealousy now becomes accusatory, where you're accusing this person and you're acting in a way that is not helping the relationship, that becomes a problem, because that feeling sometimes is natural.
Yeah.
Right? Your friend gets a promotion over you. Maybe you're a little envious. Maybe mm-hmm. you're a little jealous. Maybe mm-hmm. you actually want the job. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But, you know, if you go to that person and say, well, you don't deserve it, or I should have got it over you. Mm-hmm. Now we have a problem, because your behaviors were the problem, not more so the feeling.
Yeah.
If you can't trust the person that you're with to be around another attractive person,
yeah,
then you got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's right? no wall that you can build big enough to keep somebody from doing something that they want to do.
Yeah. No, that's such great advice. Mm-hmm. It really is. And yeah, you can't fight it. Let it go.
And if you have those signs of that extreme jealousy, that is not a person you need to be with.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
And so you got to trust your partner.
Did we cover all six yet?
Radical idea. Well, the last one I would say is dealing with emotions and owning your emotions. And so anytime you tend to what I call blame your partner for your emotional well-being, mm-hmm. you've forgotten the fact that you're in control of your emotions, not them. Mm-hmm. And so you got to take your power back. Nobody makes you angry. Nobody makes you sad. Do you have a normal, automatic emotional response to something? Yes. Mm-hmm. But the second you hand over your emotional well-being for your bad day at work to your wife to make you feel better, you got a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, take your power back.
Yeah.
Own your feelings and choose to generate the feelings you want.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to say over there, DeJuan?
I don't know. I think that kind of what we were talking about with the jealousy aspect, I don't know. I tell clients sometimes, you know, I know for a lot of people, they say, hey, never check a person's phone. I say, hey, if once a year you're sitting next to your partner and you say, hey, let me see your phone real quick. You're just trying to just make sure, hey, everything's good. I'm making sure everything is okay. We're communicating appropriately with everyone. And it kind of gives you a sense of validity that everything's fine in the relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's something like that and you're not hiding it, then that's different. But if you have to hide and go behind your partner, put trackers on their phones, things like that, that stuff becomes a problem, because, again, you're infringing on their privacy. And two, a lot of times, instead of just asking a question, hey, are we okay? You can ask the question, hey, are we okay? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you'll get the answer.
Yeah. I think that's that's crossing boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just saying, if someone wanted to look at my phone, mm-hmm. I've really got nothing to hide, but I would feel very... I would feel very stripped.
What if they asked?
If they asked to look at my phone?
Yeah, like you guys are sitting down on the TV and you're watching TV and they say, hey,
I guess.
Can I see your phone?
I mean, it's hard for me to answer that because I am such an honest person. Uh-huh. I've never cheated on anyone in my life, nor would I. I just think it's wrong to do that. Mm-hmm. It goes against how I was raised.
I like how you said, though, communicating appropriately. Like, yeah. that's a good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what would you do if someone wanted to look at your phone?
Oh, you know, my wife knows my passwords to my life.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, if she decides she wants to look at my phone,
sure,
that's fine.
Take it.
But
yeah.
I always say...
Yeah, I have that. You're right. I was like, here, look mm-hmm. at it.
But I always say that in my phone, I may have messages from my friends in which they're disclosing things, or I may have messages from clients,
right.
from my email accounts or things like that, where they're disclosing things. So then now we're kind of getting into a situation. So kind of, what is it that you want to see?
Yeah,
and
what if one of my girlfriends shared something that's very private that
yes.
they didn't want anyone else to see?
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. I just think that's, I don't know. Like I said, if you feel like you've got to check the other person's phone in a relationship, you've got to. There's already an issue.
That you think your partner is lying.
Uh-huh.
Or at the very least, right, there's some semblance of a lack of trust that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Well, with social media too, I'm sure that makes it even trickier. You know, people can have a completely different life online.
Yes.
Wow. It is very easy.
It makes it hard because you're starting to see a lot of people who have these double lives.
Right.
Right. You know, they'll have a family here in Dallas, but they travel to New York a lot for business. And they have a whole nother family out there.
I know, isn't that crazy? Yeah. I can't imagine either, but someone not in my family, but another family that I knew, and they were Greek, just by the way.
Okay, oh, here we go. And they attacked the Greeks, huh?
Yeah. They're just stating the facts, but it happened to be this Greek guy who had two separate families. They were like, they lived like 2 hours away from one another in Ohio, okay? And the kids met at the funeral. That's when everybody found out. Can you imagine?
He lived his whole life that way?
He lived like 20 years that way. We had two separate families. And when they showed up at the funeral, they're like, oh, who's that? Well, who's that?
So now think about it. Had she checked the email account, a phone, Lord, or something?
She would have known.
She would have known. So it's tricky,
but
right?
But she trusted.
Well,
you're supposed to trust.
Right.
Trust is important, but you don't want to be naive. Right, you don't want to be.
At some point, you've checked out. If that lasted that long, you know, and you don't know,
you got to figure something out, right? You know, your partner tells you they're in one place. There's no way they could have got from one place to this place in the amount of time that they're telling you. Okay, so then if you want to be gullible and naive and go with it, all right, that's fine. But if you say, well, hold on, I need a little more information about that. Hey, let me see your phone. That's just fact checking.
Yeah, I would be glad that he was dead because I'd want to kill him. Just tell you.
Right.
You're lying for 20 years?
Right.
Wow.
That's a long lie.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go to break. Dewan Bennett is coming up. We're going to be talking about scary movies with Dewan and Kip. So stay tuned, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Dewan Bennett and Kip Watson in studio with me. Dewan Bennett is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. You can find him at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. We're talking about scary movies cause anxiety. They sure do.
Yes, they do.
And so, but I, you know, we went long on some of the other segments.
It's okay.
And one of the most important things that I want to discuss today, because I love and I want to protect children, is what effect do scary movies have on children?
One of the things that a lot of times we need to start paying attention to is rating systems. There's a reason that these rating systems exist. There has been a lot of research studies that have been produced over the years about what actually affects kids' brains. And when you have kids who are 14 or younger who are watching scary movies, one of the first things that you start to notice is that they have sleep problems. Right? They have sleep problems, but they also can start to develop generalized anxiety simply because they're exposed to things that their brains are not quite ready to process. A lot of times what you see in these scary movies, it's not just the alien or the monster jumping out. It's that sound, right? That piano, that ding, ding. Mm-hmm. Think about that. That's something that they may hear in the hallways
triggered.
In school. Triggered. Right? Some of those things for a lot of children, it affects their ability to have a sense of reality about what's scary or what they should be fearful of and what not. So it kind of creates this irrational belief about fear.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here thinking about the history of scary movies. Like, when was the first scary movie? What was the scary movie?
I have no idea, but the movie that scared the bejesus out of me was The Poltergeist.
Oh, like, Poltergeist.
That movie scared me. And it's
never seen it.
It was mine.
I've never seen, I don't really. First of all, I went like, you know, 100 years of my life not watching anything. All I did was work, but I never would take the time to watch a scary movie. I haven't seen any of them.
The first horror movie on record was in 1896.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Why do we need scary movies? What's the purpose of a scary movie?
Well, time out. So there's, as we discussed, that yes, scary movies can cause anxiety for some, but also scary movies can help people develop a sense of, it can kind of desensitize you to irrational fears, right? Because what happens is you watch a scary movie and you see it over and over again, but hold on, it's voluntary. Right. It's this voluntary activation kind of your adrenaline and your cortisol that's kind of get you in that fight and fight mode, your amygdala being activated. So you start to recognize, hey, I'm OK because I'm in my living room. Right. I have all the lights on. Mm-hmm. I'm in my living room. I have all the lights on.
Until you go to bed and you turn on the light.
So and have to go to the bathroom.
Over time, you kind of start to be desensitized to some of that stuff. Just imagine somebody that has a phobia. Right. Let's just say they have a phobia of
clowns.
And over time, they start watching. Now, the clown one is tricky. It's very tricky. But they start watching the It over and over and over again.
I'm still terrified.
Over time.
I was going to say, you have a clown fear. She watches scary movies. She watched one last night and scared the bejesus out of her.
I get nightmares every time.
But now she can go to the circus because Bobo the clown does not look like the It. Right. So it's a desensitization process sometimes that occurs. And a lot of times when you have people that have more specific anxieties, phobias, you can see that exposure to those scary movies helping them because it's a voluntary. Mm-hmm. Not to mention they learn that feeling when they're scared. Oh, it's OK. I can feel this. I'm safe. Yeah. They're not getting into this kind of hyper arousal state to where they feel like, oh, the world's coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm safe. I get this a lot because I watch scary movies.
Yeah.
It's your body's reaction to danger, your life being threatened. But in that situation,
they go too far.
You're not being threatened. You're safe. It's okay.
Right. But you said yourself, Kip, that you watched a movie in the last couple of days or last week or something. What was it? And
Gotham?
There was so much blood and violence and all
it's
that.
It's a Netflix series called Gotham, which gives you all the backstories of, the Batman. Yeah. And it's very violent.
Yeah, and why do we need that violence? I think that's so damaging to a child's sweet little soul.
It can be, and then again, how does our body talk to us? Our subconscious.
Let a child watch that. Because my son loves Batman. He loves the Batman trilogy, mm-hmm. When I started watching Gotham, my son was 17, and I'm like, oh, he would really love the backstory of all this. But then I went, it's a little violent.
Remember, nightmares are our subconscious talking to us, letting us know that something's going on. So pay attention to when kids are watching these scary movies, because if they're having nightmares, maybe they shouldn't be watching them.
Well, yeah, I agree 100%. It's so good to have both of you in studio today. Kip Watson and DeJuan Bennett, thank you so much. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. And we're going off the air. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.